welcome to your new life and our new times in what has been labeled as humanity's greatest leap in evolution. Dr. K is here to assist you with holistic tips and tools, clearings and activations for your vibrational upgrade. Dr. Allison J. K. has been working as an energy medicine practitioner for 20 years, having lived in Asia for 10 years to study subtle energy. People refer to Dr. K. as the lightning bolt due to the high voltage of the work she does on behalf of assisting you to thrive in mind, body, and spirit. That is the greatest backdrop to life on planet Earth right now.
Thanks for tuning in. Happy Friday. Happy June 1st. We're almost at summertime. And I am just flying. This week has been amazing on my end with the expansion and the growth. I just signed on for renegotiated this radio show's contract for another 6 months. I just signed my book contract with Hay House. So, woohoo! And I have had so many clients this week moving through their core stuff. You know how life has come along and we go through decades and we end up back at that same place, whether it's with the partner, with the friend, with the parent, the sibling, the job, the boss, the community, that same sticking point that just seems like core pattern, like, oh, I'm up against that wall again. Really hitting that with people left and right, and just phenomenal change. The planet we are living on right now is all about change. Do not, if I can give one piece of direct advice, expect anything to be stable. And it seems like the more we grab for comfort zones, the more we want to stay in them. For, which seems like a natural human reaction, like, oh my God, I'm uncomfortable. This is uncomfortable. People are so negative. I'm surrounded by negativity. The economy is bad. If our mind starts going on that stint, it wants comfort. So it goes to comfort food or it goes to comfort habits. When in fact, there is so much instability right now because we're in the midst of such massive change, and just go with it. And the one place that you're sticking, that I have seen so much movement for myself and for people, just not allowing ourselves to stop ourselves anymore. And that comes to working with our minds and our thoughts and our perceptions and the way we frame life. Albert Einstein, I was quoting this last week with Blossom, said, "The most important choice a human being can make is whether we choose to view the universe, meaning the outside world, as hostile or friendly." Because how we frame the outside world, outside to us, our mind, is how we then go out and interact and how we end up framing our perception of everything that happens. Everything. Did that person drop my change when I went through the drive-thru? Oh, man! And if the universe is hostile versus laughter at the klutziness or the disconnection between our hands or the playfulness that can be in there if it's friendly. So I want to back up for a second. I'm really excited. We got Krishna Das coming on next week's show. I met Krishna Das. I've seen him many times before, but I met Krishna Das and had a conversation with him back in March, right after my first radio show. He was in Orlando that very weekend. I buzzed out to Orlando from where I am over north of Clearwater in the Clearwater, St. Pete, Tampa area. I'm in my car along I-4 listening to good tunes, being elated because I had my first radio show done. All the unknowns had become knowns and buzzing along, and I got to meet Krishna Das, and he's going to come on next week and enlighten us in his own unique way. Krishna Das has had Sting with him. Sting himself is a yoga practitioner. I remember seeing Sting one time specifically. My view of him was from his right side. So I was not facing him. I was in seats that were, if you were looking at the stage, to the left of the stage, but Sting was on the left side of the stage. So I was actually to Sting's right. And he stood there and just bouncing in his heels. His legs were totally tight, as if he was in mountain pose, the beginning of the sun salutation in yoga. And he just was generating so much energy and letting it run up and down his spine and up and down through his system. He is phenomenal. Sting is one of my favorite voices on the planet to listen to. He sends me basically into heaven. And I know that there's many people who agree, including a couple of my clients who are driving up to Atlanta to see Sting. I think it's next month. And I might be there too. He's saying the Krishna Das. And for me, it's one of my, it's my favorite album, I think, up until recently, of Krishna Das, Pilgrim Heart. Krishna Das, for those of you who don't have familiarity with him, is in the kirtan world. So in the yogic path, on the yogic path, in the yogic world, the poses, the postures we do at yoga classes is only one part. There's eight limbs to the yogic path. And one of them is meditation, and there's a couple of levels to that that take up some of the eight limbs with what meditation begins as and what it becomes. Then there's the breath work, which is called pranayama. And then there's chanting, like the mantras that you may have heard. Om Mani Padme Om is one of them. But kirtan is another way to take the chanting and perhaps, and make it its own meditation done in group. It's usually done in response form. But what Krishna Das did was I think he says he westernized kirtan, or he westernized, I think that's what he says. And so he's coming on next Friday. And when I met him, I was talking with him about karma, because it seems like, okay, so Allison spends 10 years in Asia, gets an understanding of what it's like to live in a world where we have an appreciation for karma at a more eternal, more longitudinal perspective, rather than the freshness of America, where we're more from the Judeo-Christian background and we don't have a sense of karma in past lives. It's not really something that is readily apparent within our paradigm here in America and in the West. But living in the East, it is. The Buddhist world in the East, believing in rebirths happening, and each birth happens, we have some new stuff for our soul to take care of, and old stuff too, so that what comes up in our life is from choices made in previous lives. The eternity of the soul is very much put into perspective and helps put life events into perspective, living in the East. And so karma is huge. And I started to have something happen. And I talked about this a bit with George Lamoureux back in the Chinese Year of the Dragon show, my third show, about how complicated karma is. I mean, it's simple, cause and effect. I make a choice, I go right, so the results of going right at that light happen in my life. Instead of choosing to go left at that light, the results of what would happen if I had gone left are the consequences to my choices. So that's karma at its most basic level. But then there is stuff that comes up in our lives that just, we don't know why it's there, and it sticks us. It's like it seems like we can't get through it, it seems like there's just no solution, and it just keeps being there. And that, to my understanding at this point, is karmic. And Krishna Das is going to help us understand karma a bit. He went and trained in India along with Ram Das. And some of you might have some familiarity with Ram Das. We'll talk more about all of that next week. They went to India, though, and worked with the same Indian master as the Beatles went to visit. So it's from that tradition. It's from that energy. And that's what we're going to be with next Friday, and I'm so excited. I'd like to also back up and thank Dr. Dane here, Gary Douglas, and Blossom Benedict from Access Consciousness. I went after, as you guys know from my show last week with Blossom, it was done in Fort Lauderdale. After having Dr. Dane here on the show the week before, he, in his, as I'm learning, inimitable graciousness and open-hearted style, wanted to gift me something back for having him on the show. And he gifted me an invite to the first night of his workshop that weekend in Fort Lauderdale. And I've got to tell you that they walk their talk. There is a joy. There is an open-heartedness that is blasting throughout the Access Consciousness facilitators and leaders. It is, I'm not trying to sound like I've found my guru and I'm a follower and it's the panacea and it's the answer. That's not, so I hope that your mind isn't hearing it as such. That's not what I mean. It's just refreshing for me to see another heart-centered healer. I know that Dane probably doesn't want to call himself a healer. No Blossom, no Gary, just helping others, facilitating others, opening up into expansion. But really, he walks his talk. That heart is so gracious. So I just want to say thank you to all three of them. Blossom's joy and her generosity and her willingness to be present in the moment and feel out answer, not answers, but feel out guidance and direction that we would say, and that's an answer, do I say yes or no here? Her ability to come out of the mind and go with answers, but instead to feel out the situation and feel what leads to expansion, an uplifted feeling as a yes, it's just brilliant. Brilliant role modeling. And Gary Douglas, the creator of it all. God bless you. It's really a good modality. So accessconsciousness.com is where you can get to some of their information and see about taking more classes. And we'll have them back on at some point in the near future, hopefully. So that's being worked out as we speak. So my business card says, making your mind your ally. Or make your mind your ally is actually what it says. I sign all my e-newsletters with making your, helping you continue to make your mind an ally, or continuing with making your mind an ally. But it is in the ing form. It is active, making your mind an ally. And that's what we're going to be doing with this show. We'll come back and do some healings on some of the most, what seems like, grounded, repeated beliefs that hold people back. We'll help with undoing that programming to free you up where you want freedom. Because we're, as I've said, not meant to struggle. But our mind interprets life as hard. And when we get beyond the mind, we just know how wrong that is, how false that is. But there's mechanisms in place that the mind wants to hold on to keep control, to not go into the lands of uncomfortableness or discomfort. When we're expanding and changing, it likes status quo. So we get some stuff in place that happens when we want to change something in our lives. Let's talk about that when we come back from break. Cheers. So what would happen if you went about your day thinking that life was easy and life was meant to be playful and money was meant to be easy? You feel that? That's open. That's expansion. That's the energy we want in our lives. Yeah? And we can have it. It is just choice. It really is that simple. What does it feel like to go through your day with life is meant to be hard. Life is meant to be a struggle. Money is meant to be hard. That's contraction. You feel it? Okay. Life is meant to be easy. Life is meant to be playful. What do birds do for the most part? Sing, right? What do butterflies do for the most part? Attack? Do you think if a bird was serious, it could sing as much as it does? Why am I going to nature? Because that's life. Without the mind, but with the awareness, the intelligence of chi or prana or life force energy. That's aliveness. That's what allows us to be alive. We had Suzanne Giesman on a couple of weeks back, the evidential medium, the Hay House author, who is an ex-military aide to Joint Chiefs of Staff turned evidential medium. I talk about an extraordinary journey. And she talked about that life force being eternal. And that life force breathing life into a human body. And when seeing a dead body, how that dead body looks nothing like the person we loved. And I agreed. I remember seeing that with my mom. That's not the mind that we're missing when we look at the dead body and our loved one's gone. That's that spirit, that expansive energy, that playful energy, that singing birds energy, the butterflies fluttering, the soft breezes, not the wind, but the soft breezes. Have you ever noticed when you sit down by a tree how it starts to have a soft, gentle breeze? And if you start to notice, notice just the branches closest to you. You won't notice it if you locked it down in your mind thinking about how life is so hard and this problem, it's so painful and ouch and But if you're feeling expansive, the energy that you're emanating out, the way that your thoughts are making your system feel energetically, will be an expanded energy, more of a heart-based energy that can reach out to interact with the field that's in all of life. Let's make our choices from that energy. Let's follow that energy when we're thinking we need to figure something out and ruminate over it and discuss it and list our options, A, B, C, D, E, F, hash them, rehash them. Do research on what happens if we choose A, what happens when people have chosen B. What if we simplified it? If I choose this, does it feel on the other side of that choice? Let me make it even more simple. If I choose this, what does it feel like in my chest and in my throat? Is it that light, expansive energy, like my arms are spread out wide? Or is it that contracting energy, like I want to just come in and bring my arms to my chest and kind of pull my forehead forward or my head forward and my shoulders slouched forward, contracting in. Okay. I think you guys got it. And now as a holistic life coach, I'd like to guide you into what do you think is behind, for example, the energy of acid reflux. Let's not go up to the biological level yet. Let's not go up to the physical level yet. Any kind of physical dis-ease or illness or diagnosis is a symptom. I know our system doesn't train us to do that. We'll talk about that a little bit later, but it's a symptom. It starts in the energy first. How we pattern our energy to run in our body. What pushes and moves energy are our thoughts that are repeated with momentum. Because if we just have one fleeting thought, it doesn't really move that much energy. Unless it has a belief attached to it that has an emotional charge attached to it. Because emotions move the energy. So let me rephrase. What emotion do you think is behind acid reflux? Look at the mechanism. There's acidicness in the chest. There's heartburn around the heart area. Heart is burning. Almost like we don't want to take in sustenance from our food. We want to regurgitate it. Are we unworthy of sustenance? Do we have our thoughts running so worried that they're going instead of that floaty, soft butterfly kind of energy or the gentle breeze energy? Instead, we're driving our system with an energy of worry. And depending on the nature of worry, I mean, typically the bottom line energy of worry is circular, intensive. How's your food going to get down a digestive tract like that? How's it going to make it down the trachea? It's going to have some, at the chest area, anxiety, Getting it? We're taught in the holistic healing world, and I'm going over into the energy healing more, as well as the holistic life coaching background. 3 to 5 years before physical diagnosis, there were emotions that got started and initiated by either a trauma or a couple of different things coming together in a person's life all at once that caused some kind of strong emotional reaction and shift in a person's system, so that they're not running their typical baseline. And it's not, they're not positive emotions. They're obviously the negative emotions of worry, fear, doubt, anger, resentment, blame, abandonment, alienation, aloneness, those kind of the negative emotions. And so when a system is shifting out of its, what keeps it in balance, which is the healthy emotions, homeostasis, smooth running, humming along, then it starts to funnel, push energy into different locations. That energy gets blocked eventually because it's the negative emotions driving it. It's not supposed to be. It's not supposed to be. We don't get blocked up with positive emotions. We get blocked up with negative emotions. So what is the baseline that we're meant to be living at? So that energy gets deposited in a certain area and it becomes a block, which could gradually, if it continues, become a pain, because that area is blocked. The chi, life force, prana isn't able to go through it. Spun out from the chakras, which are the wheels in the center along the spine in the center of the body. Those are kind of like the cities that run all the energy out to the rest of the parts of the body along different highways and interstates and routes and side roads. So our elbow could end up with a pain because our heart is closed down a bit. Yeah, it's huge. It's huge, the system. It's huge. I teach workshops on the chakras and how to use them for preventative health and self-care. And some of that's going to be addressed in some upcoming shows with myself and others. But energy gets moved by emotions and thoughts. And thoughts can be neutral unless there's an emotional charge to them. So what's an emotional charge? There's a new job opportunity coming to us for more money, less commute, more leadership, more creativity, more of whatever it is that we're desiring to expand into. And we bring ourselves back from applying for it. Maybe we believe we don't deserve that much ease that that kind of money would bring us. So what we'll end up doing instead is possibly procrastinating, not applying to it or for it, so that we sabotage our expansion. It's tricky. It's tricky. Let's go into some of these beliefs. I'm going to go ahead and start a theta healing before break. And a few of the biggest ones that I see working with my clients. Creator, it is commanded, please, you pull the belief from all the listeners, whether now or in the future, at their core level, at their genetic level, at their soul level, and resolving it for them, at their history level. I can't. Yes? Replacing it with, I can't. No. Show me. Creator, it is commanded, please, you pull the belief at all the levels for all the listeners now and in the future. I can't. Yes. Replacing it with, I can. Yes. Show me. Creator, it is commanded, please, you download the feeling of I can. Show me. Creator, it is commanded, please, you download the feeling of yes. Show me. And Creator, it is commanded, please, you download the knowing how to go about their day-to-day lives. being able to show me. And Creator, it is command to please you download the Creator's perspective, definition, and understanding of yes. Show me. Creator, it is command to please you pull the belief at all the levels, resolving it at the history level. I deserve to punish myself. Yes. Replacing it with, I deserve to punish myself. No. Show me. Creator, it is command to please you pull the belief at all the levels, resolving it at the history level. I deserve punishment. Yes. Replacing it with, I deserve punishment. No. Show me. You want to probably be pulled over to the side of the road or comfortably listening at this point so you can, in the 2-minute break coming up, get yourself to a place where you can stop operating heavy machinery, taking care of something, multitasking, because you're being brought into theta brainwave state, which is a different brainwave state. It's not the beta that we operate on, the daily life level. So you want to slow it down so you can take in these healings when we come on back. So we'll go to break now. I'll see you when we get back. Okay, I hope you've pulled over to the side of the road, or you've shut down some of those other windows on your computer, or you're kicking back, or you have taken a break and then are listening to this later so that you can receive the theta brainwave state and really receive this healing. Let's go ahead. Please know, one note, these are not what you consciously think. It's so funny. Even myself, when I first started doing this work years ago with my subconscious thoughts, but I don't think that. We don't with our conscious mind, the front part of our brain. But as I've said on other shows and other guests have also talked about 85% of our day-to-day life at least is brought about by our subconscious thoughts and beliefs. That's what we're addressing here. So we go in habit mode or robot mode and we live our lives doing our thing, cooking our food, picking up our food, going to work, taking our breaks, talking to people, going out, taking care of our kids, taking care of our laundry, driving them here and there. That's so much of when we're in that busy living mode is coming from repeated choices, from repeated behaviors, from a habit momentum that's fed by subconscious beliefs. So what we're addressing is the conditioning from our parents, the energy, not that our parents are wrong or bad, but what they absorbed. And they absorbed depression era grandparents or parents, depending on your age. Life isn't a struggle. We're not in the depression anymore. We're not even in a recession. We can think ourselves out of the recession if we think we are, by realizing people don't buy iPods, iPads, iPhones, and get obese during a recession. Well, I mean, in the dynamics of our food production industry, it's a little bit different, but that's for another show. The obesity thing. So the point is that we're not in a recession now. Life and money and work doesn't have to be hard. What if it didn't have to be hard? It's a question that they ask in Access, and it's a question that I've asked for years. Life's meant to be a joyful experience, not hard or struggle. So let's undo that conditioning we've inherited from all different areas in our lives, our teachers, our textbooks, our TV, our media, the structure of our society, our parents, our grandparents, and then our life experiences that we've had thus far that seem to fit that judgment or conclusion that life is meant to be hard. Our subconscious absorbed that conclusion, so we're recreating it. But like we talked about in the first segment, what's the contracted energy? What's the expanded energy? We're moving into a time where it's all about expansion. there's more support for expansion now. So let's work with some of that inherited programming. Let's undo it and let's free ourselves up for ever more expansion and getting out of our own ways. So lying back, you get to. Or just closing your eyes or just being, letting yourself be. You'll probably end up feeling kind of floaty if you don't already. And do some more of the theta healing on these limiting beliefs. Creator, it is commanded, please, you pull the belief from all the listeners now and in the future, from all the levels. I'm unworthy. Yes. Replacing it with, I'm unworthy. No. Show me. Creator, it is commanded, please, you pull the belief from all the levels, from all the listeners now and in the future. I'm unworthy. Yes. Replacing it with, I'm worthy. Yes. Show me. Creator, it is commanded, please, you download the feeling of being worthy. Show me. Creator, it is commanded, please, you download the knowing how to go about their day-to-day lives. Worthy. Show me. And Creator, it is commanded, please, you download the Creator's perspective, definition, and understanding. As a child in this universe, as a child of God, as a human, worthiness, show me. Creator, it is commanded, please, you pull the belief at all the levels, resolving it at the history level. I am meant to struggle, yes, replacing it with, I am meant to struggle, no. Show me. Creator, it is commanded, please, you pull the belief at all the levels, resolving it at the history level. I am meant to struggle. Yes. Replacing it with, I am meant to have ease. Yes. Show me. Creator, it is commanded, please, you download the feeling of being meant to have ease. Show me. Creator, it is commanded, please, you download the knowing how to go about their day-to-day lives, meant to have ease. Show me. And Creator, it is commanded, please, you download the Creator's perspective, definition, and understanding of ease for their highest and best with grace and ease. Show me. Creator, it is commanded, please, you pull the belief from all the levels, from all the listeners, now and in the future, resolving it for them at their history level. I deserve struggle. Yes. Replacing it with, I deserve struggle. No. Show me. Creator, it is commanded, please, you pull the belief from all the levels, resolving it at the history level. I deserve struggle, yes. Replacing it with, I deserve ease, yes. Show me. Creator, it is commanded, please, you download the feeling of deserving ease. Show me. Creator, it is commanded, please, you download the knowing how to go about their day-to-day lives. Deserving ease. Show me. Creator, it is commanded, please, you download the Creator's perspective and understanding and definition of being deserving of. Show me. Creator, it is commanded, please, you pull the belief from all the levels, resolving it at the history level. I am meant to struggle. Yes. Replacing it with, I am meant to struggle. No. Show me. Creator, it is commanded, please, you download the feeling of being meant to struggle. Show me. Cancel. Creator, it is commanded, please, you download the feeling of being meant to have ease. Show me. Creator, it is commanded, please you download the knowing how to go about their day-to-day lives being meant to have ease. Show me. And Creator, it is commanded, please you download the Creator's perspective, definition, and understanding of abundance, of joy, of ease. Show me for each of their highest and best with grace and ease. Creator, it is commanded, please, you pull the belief from all the levels, resolving it at the history level. I am meant to struggle. Yes. Replacing it with, I am meant to struggle. No. Show me. Creator, it is commanded, please, you pull the belief from all the levels, resolving it at the history level. I am meant to struggle. Yes. Replacing it with, I am meant to have ease. Yes. Show me. Creator, it is commanded, please, again, you download the feeling of being meant to have ease. Show me. Creator, it is commanded, please, you pull the belief at all the levels, resolving it at the history level. I am meant to always have problems. Yes. Replacing it with, I am meant to always have problems. No. Show me. Creator, it is commanded, please, you pull the belief at all the levels, resolving it at the history level. Life is hard. Yes. Replacing it with, life is hard. No. Show me. Creator, it is commanded, please, you pull the belief at all the levels, resolving it at the history level. Life is meant to be hard. Yes. Replacing it with, life is meant to be easy. Yes. Show me. Creator, it is commanded you download the feeling of life being meant to be easy. Show me. And Creator, it is commanded, please, you download the Creator's perspective, definition, and understanding of an easy life for each of their highest and best with grace and ease. Show me. And Creator, it is commanded, please, you download the knowing how to go about their day-to-day lives being meant to have ease. And that life is meant to be easy. Show me. Let's go ahead and go to break now. See when we come back. This is possible in continuing to make our minds our allies and continuing to help you all make your mind your ally. What else is possible? So if we were choosing from a position and perspective of life is meant to be easy, what would you choose differently? Yeah, I can feel the shift in the energy. It's vast. That's a biggie. I've been gone the last, after 9/11, well, actually I left 2 months before 9/11, as some of my regular listeners know, and if you're just joining me, I was over in Asia teaching at an international school full-time and doing part-time healing work and did my PhD over there as well. And I came back 2 years into Obama's administration. So I've been back since July of 2010. I'm coming up on 2 years now. The country's different. There was promotion of struggle post 9/11 in our country. And I can feel the tightness. I go out there and offer these data healings in the local community, especially in the less affluent parts. I discount the healing work, these group, and do data healing at a group level like I'm doing with the listeners now. As a matter of fact, I'm doing it in Dunedin at the Enchanted Earth this month on the 12th. I do it every other Tuesday night. The 12th is about weight loss and pulling the subconscious blocks that condition people to eat and keep on weight and emotionally eat and the struggle that people's minds and beliefs create with weight. And on the 29th, one for abundance. But yeah, it feels like there was this wave of fear washed over my fellow citizens that I came back to, and I felt almost strangulated. I was back in the summers every summer, And I came back halfway through a bit when my mom got diagnosed with a brain tumor. And I'll talk about that on another show. I mentioned that a bit in the preface to my book. Again, I signed my book contract this week with Hay House, and it's coming out probably within, definitely by the end of August, but it seems like the production will get it out by mid-July, and I'll let you know about that. One of the main topics I approach in the book is trying to understand, as I was living over there in the Chinese culture, and part of the reason why I moved there was to understand what it's like to be in a culture that operates from the value of energy has importance. It's not just what is physically measurable, but what I'm feeling around me there's something valid to that. So I'm in about my seventh year there, and had done a lot of traveling, a lot of research into their longevity practices, had become a Qigong practitioner and teacher at that point, working with the subtle energy of Qigong. Had already been doing yoga for years, hadn't gotten my yoga teacher certification in India yet at this point, and I was teaching an AP psychology class to high school seniors, primarily some juniors too. And there's a page in the textbook by the most well-known textbook author for college psychology classes about the intuition and how it's faulty, how it leads us into inaccurate logic, and how it leads us to make bad decisions, and how it can't be relied upon for rational choices. And I left the class at the break because it was a block class, meaning we had two periods together. And in between, I went into the copy room pretty charged up and asked a colleague of mine, what is it that keeps us in the West, in America in particular, refusing to believe in anything that isn't tangible, physically and measured and proven? It's like sticking our heads in the sand, ignoring what over half of the rest of the world totally believes in. Why are we sticking our heads in the sand with this? It's almost to the point of ignorance, because as an energy healer at that point, I think I had been an energy healer for about 14 years or so, cultivating intuitive development and understanding and valuing the input I get during an energy healing session from my intuition, how it taps into a whole other source of intelligence way beyond the small rational intellectual mind. So having firsthand experience of the knowledge in the helpfulness of the intuition that quite frankly helped me undo a brain tumor within my mom's brain with this understanding and then the energy healing. So I was pretty fired up about it. And my colleague, who was a history teacher, said to me, because we went through the Enlightenment, and that led me to 800 pages of a dissertation that's getting chopped up into three different books, the first of which is the one that I just mentioned coming out. I don't have a title for it yet. And it seems like our science is coming out of the dark ages. This is it in brief, the answer. Coming out of the dark ages, in the Middle Ages, there were the witch trials. That was also the time with alchemy. But there were the witch trials. There were the religious wars. There was the Catholic Church gaining more and more power, as well as becoming increasingly hypocritical. And then science, like Galileo, started to disprove what the Bible had put forth. And then, you know, he was accused of heresy. It was recanted how many centuries later? I think it was actually this century that they finally put out a statue of Galileo in front of the Vatican to apologize for what they had done and disbelieving him. But then gradually through the Renaissance, and particularly on into the Age of Reason, is then science increasingly, with Newton, proving validity to certain ways the universe appeared to work, as the scientists themselves and the French, for example, came up with the Enlightenment ideas. The Enlightenment followed the Age of Reason. The Age of Reason bled into the Enlightenment time. So the French Revolution was during the Enlightenment. Our revolution in America, where we broke away from England and became our own country, was based on the Enlightenment era's ideas that we need to rely on our reason and on our intellect, because it was viewed all that had gone on in the Middle Ages was irrational due to the mind's irrationality. So science in that time was developing, and they absolutely focused on the external universe, not the internal one. It was viewed as dark. It was viewed as the domain of the church and unreliable. And if we did look in the mind beyond the reason part of it, there is danger. So we have that in our culture's foundation in the West, that if we look in the mind, they're going to find a bunch of deep, dark craziness and madness, and it's only our reason that can be relied on. Whereas the entire Buddhist world, which is the Eastern Hemisphere, Buddhism was born in India, went up to Tibet, went over to China, went both up to Japan, down to Southeast Asia, where Thailand and Cambodia and Laos, for example, all are, and then over into Taiwan, and then some went down into Bali. That's the whole Eastern Hemisphere. Have a way to work with the mind that understands the mind has neuroses. Where the reason is the same mind, but beyond that, there's access to this infinite power. And in that is intuitive guidance. And in that is that expansive energy. And beyond the mind that likes to debate and likes to judge and label, because that's its job, to judge, label, and help us navigate the physical plane. It goes into overdrive. We live a life based on the mind being in overdrive, and then we wonder why we're stressed out, because we don't have the tools to calm it down. We end up anxious. We end up depressed. And so there's reasons why we are where we are today in 2012, and it is time to change, and it is meant to be easy and playful and light. So on that, enjoy. Blessings.
Thank you for joining us and allowing yourself this time to expand and become more of who you're here to be. Dr. K has a range of different offerings of her vibrational upgrades at all price points, including free. So for more information, please go to www.alisonjk.com. Dr. K's first book, What If There's Nothing Wrong, is available on Amazon.com. Dr. K also has a weekly clearing and activation call that is attended by her most advanced clients and students, an important activity in keeping themselves aligned and their vibration high. We'd love to have you come and play. Om Shanti.